بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to another edition of Living the Legacy. Today we're talking about something that can really make a meaningful change in our lives and help us in the process of healing our hearts. Our guest today is taking us through the topic of how we can stay away from gossiping. Our guest is Sumaiya Abubakar Issub, a holistic health specialist with a background in kinesiology, holistic nutrition, afia healing, and NLP life coaching. Sumaiya also has a range of aromatherapy products, which she blends using a holistic health approach based on her qualifications. MashaAllah. Sumaiya, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for having me on the show, Apa Rehana.
Alhamdulillah, it's our pleasure. We're so happy to have you with us, and we know that we're going to be learning a lot from you on today's topic, inshallah.
I will be learning as well, Alhamdulillah.
So we're talking about gossiping, and just for our listeners who will be listening into the program in the coming weeks, just reminding ourselves that we're talking about things that affect our spiritual health, our emotional health. So today we're talking about gossiping and how to stay away from it. And I think nowadays with social media and all of that, it becomes even more difficult for people. So we're hoping, inshallah, today's topic is going to allow us all to grow and to heal from this, inshallah. Mm-hmm. You know, Sumaiya, our ulama teach us that backbiting is a disease of the heart. Mm-hmm. Can you take us through that a bit, please? Like, how is the heart connected or affected by this act of backbiting?
So, ulama and Islam tell us that, you know what, to backbite is almost as close as to eating somebody else's flesh. And it's such a major sin that even there's a hadith that says that it's even worse than committing zina. And I think we look at it so loosely. In this culture that we live in today, we look at it in a sense that, yeah, okay, that is Islam, that is what the ulama say, but I'm just saying, you know. You know, like we have discussions and we say, I'm just saying. So when I think of how, you know, when I look, everybody's interpretation of deen and what the ulama say is obviously different. But my understanding about backbiting and how it affects the heart is that, I'll give you an example of myself, where if I'm in a group of people and we're just chatting, and for, it might look like just socializing, just speaking to each other, and I leave that gathering or that coffee meeting or that lunch meeting, and my heart is heavy. And I cannot pick on why is my heart heavy? Because I was actually comfortable with all those people there. So this, for me, my understanding is how it actually affects our heart. So our heart is where we connect to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala speaks to our heart. And you know, if the heart is sound, then the soul is sound. And if you look at it emotionally, just, I would think when the ulama say about it's a disease of the heart, it's not necessarily now you have a heart attack or you have a heart condition. It's more like how your heart feels heavy. I just feel so heavy, that feeling. That is my understanding.
Yeah, that's so beautiful the way you put that forward to us, because many of us have lost touch with how does my heart feel? Mm. And that's so important for us to be in touch with that feeling in the heart as well. So take us through a bit more of that, Sumaiya. What does Islam teach us when it comes to dealing with gossip?
You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been so straightforward, if you want to put it that way, in how to handle situations like this. Obviously, part of Iman is to stop it with your hands. But again, now gossip is usually a verbal thing. So Islamically, my understanding of how to deal with gossip is either if you are already in that conversation and the conversation or the discussion is going up a juicy and AWOL and it's about other people that are not even in the gathering, then I would try to find a way to distract the discussion. Or like to say, hey, how about changing the subject? You know, change the subject. And if you don't have quite that courage within yourself to change the subject, find a way to distract your own self. Because remember something, we can't change other people, but we can change how we respond. So it boils back to how I feel after a gathering, where if I know this is not feeling right in my heart, then I will either distract myself, like if you're in a social place, either step away or try, and if you're in a restaurant situation or a scenario, call the waiter or distract yourself with your phone. Obviously, that is not socially, not social etiquette, but what I'm trying to say here is about finding a more polite way as such to deal with the gossip. And another thing is find a way to kind of like, you know, it also depends on who you are with. If it's people that you are comfortable with, you can directly say, hey, can we please rather speak about something else? Or if you also have the courage, you can say something more positive about that person. You know, sadly, we live in an environment where the minute you say, guys, can you believe it? We're eating somebody else's flesh. And people will turn around and say, oh, look at you. You've become so holy. And we're so scared of looking like holier than thou. So a subtle way would be saying, let's change the subject. Or how about this? Hey, did you guys hear about that? You know, changing the subject, stepping away if you need to, taking a loo break if you need to. But just stepping away is the most key thing, I would believe. Inshallah.
Wow. MashaAllah, you know, you mentioned this, and often we think, well, what's the big thing we have to do to change this? But like you said, making that ethical, conscious choice to step away.
Yeah. Because we can't change other people. We can't change other people's personalities or social behavior. But inshallah, if we start with ourselves and make that conscious decision, then inshallah, I believe in my heart that it will have that ripple effect.
Definitely, inshallah. Yes. Yes, so I want to ask you about this because we have a lot of sisters that have experienced this type of challenges in recent times. You know, sisters who are experiencing like social anxiety, but they feel like, okay, with COVID now waning off, I want to reach out. I want to be in touch with other people. I want to reach out to other sisters. But they may be afraid of this whole gossiping trap and don't want to get involved in that at all. You know, as a holistic health specialist, what advice would you have for sisters who are experiencing social anxiety? How can they reach out to others? Where can they start? And especially if they're worried about the gossip trap.
Okay, so that's actually an excellent question, Apa Rehana, because this is something I went through for a long while myself, where I like my own company, but I also like to be with people. And then when things started opening up, I also went through that social anxiety because like now people want to know, what have you been up to, and then this discussion and that discussion. And there's obviously now with added social media, Instagram, TikTok, all of those things, there's so much more pressure, if you want to put it like that, that way you feel like, do I even fit in? So if I were to share any advice from my heart, again we're speaking about the heart, about how to get over this or cope better with this integration back into society, is ask myself, what kind of company do I want to attract? And what are my values? And what values, as in, like, do I want to be in company that's going to be uplifting? Do I want to be in company just like, you know, like how moms get together while their kids have so-called play dates? What kind of company do I want? And I think the most important thing is once you know exactly what kind of company you are seeking, then it becomes easier, inshallah, to once you've set that intention, then Allah Ta'ala will open up the means for you to attract that kind of company. Again, it starts off with intention. What kind of company do I want to attract? What do I want to give into this company? You know, my contribution socially, and what would I like to gain socially as well? And remember something, my dear sisters, as much as we feel like we need to feel pressurized to fit in or to kind of like be the in crowd, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Again, it goes back to where if it makes your heart or you feel uncomfortable somewhere in your body, please listen to it and rather step away. And if you receive a call or you see there's even a halaqa somewhere or a talim somewhere or a talk somewhere, oh Allah, please tell me in my heart if this is good for me or not. Allahumma khair wakhtirli. If there is khair in this for me, let me step into this gathering. If there isn't khair for me, make it easy for me to step away. Because again, we are nafsi. We are controlled about wanting to fit in. I'm like that myself, where I have to gauge between, okay, if I don't go, am I going to be left out? Or if I go, what if I don't know how I'm going to handle this uncomfortable discussions or feeling in my body. So Allahumma khir wakhtili, set that intention, what it is that you are seeking. What are you seeking? Are you seeking social company in a sense where to be able to speak with like-minded mums? Or do you want to gain dini knowledge? Do you want to become more in tune with your own body? Do you want to do self-development? What is it that you want socially? What do you want to gain? And then when you have those opportunities, then inshallah, Allahumma khair wa akhtirli, Allah Ta'ala will put it in your space, in your pathway, what is meant for you and what is not meant for you. And while you are at that, also make that dua that if it's something that is not working out for you, Allah Ta'ala help you find that ability to accept that there is khair in this for me, there is khair in this for me. And we live in a society where we feel like, oh, if I don't go, I'm going to miss out. Console your heart, because if there was khair in it, if it was meant for you, wallahi, it would have opened up so easily for you to get to go there. The car would have been available for you, you would have received that message, this and this is happening, you would have received an invite. If you didn't, it's okay. It's okay.
Wow, subhanAllah, you've just given this different perspective. I think so often we are relying on our intellect, on our logic, and we are not trusting enough and turning enough and consulting the heart, turning to Allah and saying, Allah, show me, guide me, right? Is this good for me? We focus so much on the facts. Who will be there? Who won't be there? Who will be disappointed if I do come? Who will gossip if I don't come? But we haven't asked our Rabb, Ya Allah, exactly. Is this good for me?
Yeah.
Is this what you want for me? Yes. SubhanAllah, that's such a beautiful perspective, Sumaya. We are living with this very strong gossip culture, you know. So my question to you would be, why? Why is there this very strong gossip culture among our children as well? Even our tweens, our teens. What would you say are the most common reasons which cause them to gossip? You know, we have a lot of mums that are listening on the program and teachers on the podcast later on. So, yeah, if we can maybe get an understanding, why is there this very heavy gossip culture with our young ones nowadays? What's causing it? And maybe, yeah, let's hear more from you on this, please.
Okay, alhamdulillah. That's also an excellent question, Appa Rehana. More so because I have a tween myself and a teen, alhamdulillah. So I'm learning through them. You know what? Children love and express what they see. So they mimic what is in their environment. Now, obviously, a couple of years ago, you're looking maybe 10 years ago, 5, 10 years ago, we would strongly put it as children definitely learn in their environment, as in their home, their main caregivers, their teachers, and their friends at school. But now the world has become so wide with social media. Our kids know how to use our phones even better than us. And they know about YouTube and YouTube shots and TikTok and Instagram and what's going on. And it's like we can't even keep up with them. And I think the most important thing reason that has created this culture of gossip is because our kids don't know any better. It's so normalized on social media that it's like it's just one of those things. I'm just expressing myself. Our millennials and our X generation, I'm just expressing myself. No, Ma, please tell me, where did you learn this from? So if I was to step in as a parent, I would say, wait a minute, where did you learn this from? Because I know definitely we don't speak like this at home. And I'm sure it's not even something you learned from your teachers. And then you would ask about their friends, because there's a lot of insecurity. You know, that's another cause where, besides learning from social media and the adults around them, it's also about what's happening at school and the sense of insecurity. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. So that's the most common reason, whether it's an adult, whether it's a tween or a teen, it's this social culture of who's the next better person. And the sad part is, we see it in adults where if the next person looks better than us, instead of applauding them, we say, I wonder how she did that overnight. Or I wonder, what gabgal they're doing under the ground, And it's quite sad, but we see it in our teens and our tweens, and they're just mimicking what they see around them. And I think it comes back to taking a closer look at ourselves. What are we modeling? Do we even know what they are watching? Look, we live in a world where we can't put our kids under rocks and expect them to live in a little cocoon. But it helps to know, what are they watching? What are they listening to? And that, more than even people around them, I believe, influences how they respond in the outer world. So inshallah, I start with myself, and I would like to also share with the listeners that today, while we're making the intention that I'm going to make that dua, Allahumma khair wakhtali, before I involve myself socially, and when I come home, how am I speaking about those people that I met? Because remember, my kids are listening to me. And also, I'm going to also become more consciously aware and make that dua and intention that I'm also connected to my kids. My heart must be connected to my kids, because my heart is connected to them, my heart will know if something is offbeat. And if their heart is connected to mine, they will feel safe enough to say, Mom, I didn't feel so good today. And this person was teasing me at school today, and they said, I'm like this and I'm like that, and I felt so horrible. I don't like her. She's so mean. She's so ugly. She's like this. No, my child. So we start off with say, I understand. Because a lot of the times, all our children need is acknowledgement. So again, it comes back to the millennials where, a few years ago when we were kids, our parents would say, chupre, like stay quiet, don't say anything. But today's kids are full of expression. And all they are seeking is acknowledgement. I'm so sorry you felt so hurt today and you were picked on. So just that acknowledgement that I hear you. I hear you that you felt picked on. I hear you that the people were talking bad about you. And I'm so sorry that you felt so uncomfortable and so hurt. And I'm sure it was not a nice feeling. However, I'm just wondering where that came from. I wonder why she felt like that girl or that boy needed to pick on you. I wonder, maybe something is happening with them at home. Maybe they felt like they liked something nice about you, but they didn't know how to express it. So they just chose something to pick on you. How about, you know? So how about tomorrow? Or if it happens again and you're picked on, how about shifting it and saying, that's not a nice thing to say. That's not a nice thing to say. And how about starting to say something nice? Something nice.
Absolutely. We would love to continue chatting with you, and our time is going by very quickly, subhanAllah. But I want to ask you one last question, please. And that is, if I could ask you for one, what would your number one strategy be on how we can avoid gossiping and encourage our children to avoid it? Your number one strategy, please.
So what I learned in my recent training of the Heal Your Life modality was that, you know, if we create the shift within ourselves, if I stop being mean or judging myself, if I start being more kind, like for example, if I'm so ugly, I'm so fat, oh man, look at my posture, my skin. So if I start bringing in that gratitude towards myself, or that appreciation, or no, like less judgment of my own self, I personally believe that if we stop judging ourselves, we will stop judging other people. It becomes less tempting to pick on other people. So if I'm going to be, so remember something, there's a key takeaway. If you are picking on other people out there and gossiping about other people, ask yourself, where am in my life, or where within my own circle am I picking on myself? And work on that. And once I listen and become more aware of less picking on myself, then inshallah, then you will start becoming less judgmental around about other people out there, inshallah.
You've given us such fantastic tools. I'm so grateful for this. Listeners, the program will be up on podcast, which means you can play back on it, share it with loved ones, so we then build and nurture an environment of love and kindness and compassion, rather than of toxic behavior and gossiping. So may the time was just too short. We will definitely have to ask our producer Mumtaz to connect us with you again, and we'd love to chat with you again in the second half now of this year, inshallah, if your schedule allows. To conclude, how can our listeners get in touch with you? You are a holistic health specialist. You also have your own range of aromatherapy products. What's the easiest way for our listeners to get in touch with you, to be inspired by you, purchase your products, or have sessions with you?
I'm based in Madrid. However, this is where the social media comes in so handy. You can connect with me on WhatsApp. So I will share with the listeners my number, and I would love to hear from them. So my number is 084-660-3829. Alternatively, you can send me an email at sumaya.isop@webmail.co.za, and you can also connect with my Instagram page for aromatherapy for the Aroma Senses products, which is aroma_senses_za. And yeah, so inshallah, through that platform, you are welcome to find out more about the aromatherapy products, and you can send me a WhatsApp, 084-660-3829. We can take this chat further, and I might every now and again send you random shift-changing messages, inshallah. Ameen. Allah Ta'ala accept from us. Allah Ta'ala make us a means of a ripple effect of positive shifts in the dunya, so that we build for our akhirah. Ameen.
Ameen, Ya Rab. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah place plenty of barakah in all that you do to help, to uplift others. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to grow from strength to strength. It's been such a pleasure, Sumayya. And we hope to have you back with us again as you guide us in living a legacy. Jazakumullahu khair and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and welcome back to the program. Before the break, we heard from our guest, Sister Sumayya Abu Bakr Isub. Sumayya is a holistic health specialist with a background in kinesiology, holistic nutrition, afya healing, and NLP life coaching. Sumayya also has a range of aromatherapy products, which she blends using a holistic health approach based on her qualifications. And she took us through the topic of staying away from gossip. And very interesting points that come up, what Islam teaches us about dealing with gossip, advice for sisters who experience social anxiety, they would like to reach out to other sisters, how do they and where do they start? We talked about drawing the line when we hear our children gossiping and how to deal with that. So that was with our guest today, Sumayya Abu Bakr Isub, and a fascinating topic. If you have any such topics that you would like to share with us, ask us to cover in our programs, we'd love to hear back from you. Please do let us know. Remember, you can email us, hana@radioislamlive.com, hana@radioislamlive.com. We're talking now about the heart, but something really different. You know, we've always focused on the illnesses of the heart, the diseases of the heart, or the sicknesses of the heart. And today we want to talk about how does the heart fast? And the whole idea is we often keep our topics on fasting more for Ramadan or, from Rajab onwards. But fasting is such an intrinsic part of the life of Muslims. Right, we are always in some state or other fasting, whether it's your Monday and Thursday, 13th, 14th, 15th of every month, your Qadha fast, your Muharram fast, your Ramadan, Shawwal, your Dhul Hijjah fast. Fasting is such a central part of our lives. So today we're talking about how the heart fasts. And we start off by turning our focus to the Quran Kareem, where in Surah At-Taghabun, Surah number 64, Ayah 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and if anyone believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. So having a guided heart is the basis of all guidance. It is the secret of all success, the origin of every good deed, and the core of every action. And illuminating this fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, truly there is a piece of flesh in the body which if it should be wholesome, the whole body will be wholesome. And if it should be corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. Truly it is the heart. And so the goodness of your heart is the guarantee of your happiness in this world and in the akhirah. And likewise, the heart's corruption is the surest way to destruction. We know that in Ramadan, the heart of a believer fasts during Ramadan. And then, as we mentioned, at various times throughout the year. But the fasting of the heart is done by purifying it from all sorts of corruption. And that includes different forms of shirk, of associating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or false beliefs, or evil suggestions, or filthy intentions, or degenerate thoughts. The believer's heart is adorned with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it shines like the sun, and it increases in faith whenever the believer listens to the ayat of the Quran. The believer's heart grows in conviction when it contemplates its verses, when it increases in guidance, when it reflects on its provision. We ask Allah, Ya Rabbi, guide our hearts
to the straight path. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such hearts that are guided to the straight path. And part of those good and beautiful hearts is living with ihsan. Now ihsan, which we can understand to be goodness and distinguished excellence, is a topic that we cover many times. And it is one we will continue to return to because ihsan is something that is essential in the life of a believer. Ihsan is one of those words that, you know, just can't be translated into just one English word, but rather it has a broad, a broad and deep meaning. It really does, alhamdulillah. So we read in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves al-muhsineen, that He loves those who do good. A muhsin is one who is generous, one who does good actions. And ihsan is itself goodness. But ihsan also means to excel or to show proficiency or excellence. And so it could be considered that the Arabic word ihsan has a dual meaning, goodness and excellence. And as Muslims, we need to strive to achieve that excellence, that proficiency in all good actions we do. A civilization cannot arise if people don't try their best to achieve the best results in whatever they're doing. So if you are a student, you're not just focusing your efforts on barely passing the exam. No, you would be aspiring to actually increase your knowledge through the academic year and at the end prove that you have learned by achieving the best results you can. If you are a teacher, you wouldn't just stand in front of a class and deliver a lesson. No, you would try your very best to have a positive impact on your students. You know, to add something to their knowledge. The same thing applies when we work in a factory or we produce any type of product, right? We don't just make something that looks good on the outside. No. Instead, it is something that will function for its intended shelf life. Now, this may seem like general behavior that everyone should apply, regardless of their belief. But aside from that, it is a fundamental Islamic behavior. It is reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, Allah loves that when any one of you does a job, he should perfect it." Unfortunately, some Muslims have forgotten this concept and they have abandoned it. On the other hand, the West realized the importance of quality and perfection. And by applying them, its civilization grew and became more powerful. This is a divine law, and it applies to Muslims and non-Muslims alike. If you perfect what you do, you improve your condition and the condition of your surroundings. So a study was done to estimate the number of hours worked by employees each day in different countries all over the world. Not the number of hours they spend in their workplace, but the net hours spent actually working. So that means after subtracting lunch breaks, going to the bathroom, chatting, etc. While some Western countries and Japan reached high numbers like 8 hours, some Muslim countries reached as low as 12 or even 5 minutes. 5 minutes of pure work. Can you believe that? And we want Allah to give us victory? How can we expect Allah to give the Muslims victory and let them lead the world if some Muslim countries work for less than an hour a day?
we are not applying the divine rule, and so our situation will stay as it is. So we need more ihsan in our lives, with both of its meanings, goodness and perfection. In Surah An-Nahl, Ayah 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allah commands justice, ihsan, and liberality to kith and kin. So maintaining ihsan is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do. Why is it then that sometimes we Muslims are the laziest or the sloppiest? Of course, not all Muslims, but it seems to be the current theme in our ummah. Some countries are famous for certain products because they perfect them and they have the highest quality. For example, you have Japanese electronics or Italian shoes, Swiss watches and army knives. What about Muslim countries? How many products have we perfected to the extent that a customer buys them while confident that they're the best in the market? Advancing and achieving such a reputation is not a modern world concept. It is Islamic. It is in our deen. You know, someone once told me, thank God the non-Muslims in the West are so advanced and are discovering all these new things every day, so we can benefit from them directly without effort, and we have more time to worship Allah. And at first I thought this person was joking, but unfortunately he wasn't. He forgot that working is a form of worshipping Allah if the intentions are correct. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran and say, work, for Allah will observe your work and his messenger and the believers. Soon will you be brought back to the knower of what is hidden and what is open. Then will he show you the truth of all that you did. Surah At-Tawbah, Surah 9, Ayah 105. And so Muslims should participate in making this world a better place. And we must have our contribution. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only by performing rituals. For example, going to school, university or work every day could be a form of worship if your intentions are to obey Allah, to acquire knowledge for the betterment of the Muslimin and humanity, and to be a good example of a Muslim. If we are not successful and at the forefront, how will we attract non-Muslims to the beauty of Islam? Now, one meaning of ihsan is to do good actions. But when doing good, we should also strive for excellence. For example, greeting another Muslim by saying, Assalamu alaikum, is a good act. But giving the complete form of the greeting, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, is far better. There's even another step higher, which is saying the greeting and shaking hands, and you could approach that excellence even more by also smiling. Now, we do know that in this present climate, with this pandemic, that in many parts of the world, people are advised still not to shake hands and, out in public, as part of the SOP and part of the precaution. So, you know, based on that, you would know in your community or your country what those rules are. So I do know in some countries, the shaking of hands publicly is still not allowed, and that's fine. But at least the greeting in full and smiling when greeting. So these are examples of how we can try to achieve perfection and excellence in our acts. It should be a constant attempt in all aspects of life, whether it's our worship, physical ibadah, working, studying, relationships, community, We need to try to implement ihsan in everything we do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us in several ways and situations to seek perfection. One of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sayings dealing with ihsan is particularly interesting. Verily, Allah has prescribed ihsan in all things. Thus, if you kill, kill well. If you slaughter, slaughter well. Let each one of you sharpen his knife and let the slaughtered animal die comfortably. Sahih Muslim. Condition of our entire ummah. And that is when we can say, ah, now the Muslims are leading. But until that condition happens or that change happens, we will not be leading until then. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. So, to conclude on this, I've been thinking a lot about what kind of legacy I would like to leave behind. But sometimes it's scary to think about. I'm just one human. There is nothing particularly special about me. I don't have tons of money or important contacts or superhuman powers. It's just me struggling to get up out of the bed in the morning, thinking about what to cook, doing laundry and driving my child. Written by Sister Asma Hussein, she writes, and in that mess of things, it's easy to feel small. But I think it's okay to feel small sometimes, maybe most of the time. It's okay to feel small because in that humility of smallness, you can appreciate the greatness and grandeur of God. In appreciating Him, we learn that everything big starts from something small. A single seed grows into a ferociously massive tree. And that tree feeds and houses generations upon generations of critters. And those critters, they spread seeds for other plants and trees to grow elsewhere too. The tree itself stays where it is. It does not have to move or travel. It does not have to exert more effort than it needs to. It simply stands tall, obeying the will of Allah. And then I wonder, have I been thinking about my life and legacy wrong? Have I been preoccupied with the desire to make big changes in my life and in the world to the point where I've forgotten it actually only takes little things, little steps, little seeds to build and grow? It only takes me standing as firmly in my belief and tawakkul as I can. I have to remind myself to perfect the little things, to pay attention to every step, to scatter seeds of goodness when and where I can. Some of those seeds might not take to the soil and be swept away by the wind and the rain, but some of those seeds might grow into forests. It's only in Allah's control, and He puts barakah in what He wills. Subhanallah. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of the program. We are grateful and thankful for you joining us today, and do join us again in next week's program. Remember, the program is up on podcast for you to play back and share the link with loved ones. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.